إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Sheikh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala Babu Zakati wa Sayt. The chapter has to do with Zakat wa Sayt, that is slaughtering and hunting. Slaughtering and hunting. The Sheikh says, الحيوانات المباحة لا تباح لا تباح إلا بدون لا تباح بدون الزكاة إلا السمك والجراد. الحيوانات المباحة لا تباح بدون الزكاة إلا السمك والجراد. He has talked about the permissible animals, that is the lawful ones, and the unlawful animals. And we said the basis when it comes to animals, the basis is al-hil. The animals are lawful, generally speaking, illa linas. Unless if there is a text that says a particular animal is haram, or we have a general principle, as in any animal with fang with which it hunts, or with claws with which it hunts, it's not permissible to eat it. So this is a principle. So any animal that falls under this, we say such an animal is not allowed to be eaten. So you see that there is a specific mention of an animal, that the animal is unlawful. Or we have a principle that any animal that falls under it, such an animal is said to be unlawful for consumption. Now, the al-hayawanatu al-mubaha, the animals that are lawful, how are we going to kill them? How are we going to bring their life to an end? How are we going to terminate their life so that we can eat them? So the Sheikh says, الحيوانات المباحة لا تباح بدون الزكاة. So the animals that are lawful are not permissible to be eaten إلا بالزكاة, except by slaughtering. بدون زكاة. So they are not permissible without slaughtering. إلا السمكة, except the fish, wal jarad, and locust. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has allowed the companions to eat the fish and al-jarad. As we have it in the hadith, وَحِلَّ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ السَّمَكُ وَالْجَرَاد وَحِلَّ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ. So two dead animals are lawful. Two dead animals are lawful. So he mentioned a stomach as the first one. Then the second one is al-jarad, locust. In the hadith, he also mentioned what daman and two types of blood. So he mentioned, what did he mention? Huh? Al-tihal and which other one? Al-kabij. Al-kabidu wa-tihal. So the liver and the spleen. So وَحِلَّ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ وَالدَّمَانِ. Said فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ فَالسَّمَكْ وَالْجَرَاجِ وَأَمَّا الدَّمَانِ فَالْكَبِجِ وَالْتِحَالِ. So they are lawful. So the one that concerns us here is that of a stomach and what? Huh? Al-jaraj. A stomach and al-jaraj. So, locust, we know locust. There is something the Yoruba people call tata. There is one that is it grayish or is gray in color like this or somehow whitish. Huh? So not the one that looks like the leaf. So the greenish one, that is tata. White one that is gray in color or like a silver color, so to say, that one is called ire. Ire. So they call that in English locust. So you can see that Yoruba people, they eat ire. They eat ire. So if you find ire, that is a locust, you find as many of them dead, you can pick them and eat. So it's not the same thing as you finding a dead goat or a dead cock or fowl. You cannot eat a dead cow or a dead goat, but you can eat a dead locust. So أُحِلَّ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ وَالدَّمَانِ السَّمَكُ وَالْجَرَاجِ وَالْكَبِدُ وَالْتِحَامِ. So it is permissible for us to eat al-jaraj. And that of the stomach, I think that is very clear. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُ مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِسَيَّارَةٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Saydul Bahri, hunting in the river or the sea, this is permissible. Then ta'amuhu, yani maitatuhu, the dead animals of the sea are permissible. So, and fish is the most common of the dead animals in the sea. So what are contained in the sea are what? Fishes majorly. Yes, we have some other animals, but fishes are what are contained in the rivers, in the sea, in the oceans majorly. So the verse has already taken care of that of the fish. وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ. Why that of the locust? This hadith, وَحِلَّ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ وَالدَّمَانِ. So this takes care of the other animal, that is fish. ويشترط في الزكاة ويشترط في زكاة when you are slaughtering some conditions ought to be met أن يكون المزكي مسلما أو كتابيا the one slaughtering must be a Muslim أو كتابيا or somebody who is a kitabi a person of the scripture the one who the scripture has been given to that is a Christian or a Jew meaning if somebody who is not a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim slaughters that slaughtering we can't eat it we cannot eat that slaughtered animal because the one who has slaughtered it is not a kitabi is not one of the people of the scripture so for the animal to be lawful the person who is slaughtering must be a person of the scripture either the person is a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew now in an environment like ours in Nigeria you go to the abattoir who are the people slaughtering there So majority of those who are slaughtering there are either Muslims, then if they watch, how come to the worst? You say what? A Christian. So this is a kitabi. So this is a kitabi. You can see it's the food of a kitabi. You can eat the food of a kitabi. But let's assume you are living in a country that is predominantly non-kitabi. When I say non-kitabi, the person is not a Muslim, nor a Christian, nor a Jew. Like the Hindus, for instance. Huh? They are those who are predominant in that society. If you have an abattoir, the slaughter there, will it be permissible for one to eat the goat? It will not be permissible. Why? Because the one who has slaughtered the animal is a non-kitabi. The person does not fall under the people of the scripture. So the person is an Hindu, for instance, or a Shango worshipper, or Ogun worshipper, and the like. So such an animal will not be permissible for one to eat. How this is clear. And that is the reason why the imported chicken or turkey, scholars will say that is there in Nigeria. They say you can't eat it. Why? Because we can't really tell where it's coming from. Is it from a Christian country? Or from a Muslim country? Or from a Jewish country? If you have the evidence that it's coming from a Jewish country or a Christian country or a Muslim country, then we say, Ahlan wa sahlan. But now you don't know. And you mentioned the other time, Al-Aslu fil luhumi al-hurma. The basis in meat, not animal now, in meat, the basis is al-hurma. It is not permissible for you to eat it. Because you can't tell whether it's a dead animal, for instance, you can't tell. So the basis is al-hurma. Illa bidaleel, except with an evidence. If you can find the evidence that this has been slaughtered by a Muslim or by a Christian or by a Jew, then you can go ahead to eat it. All other conditions fulfilled. You can go ahead to eat it. All other conditions fulfilled. I hope this is clear. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ بِمُحَدَّدٍ Then it should also be with a sharp object. Use a sharp object to slaughter while slaughtering. So when you use an object that is not sharp to slaughter, this is wrong. For it makes the animal go through a lot of pain. And this is wrong Islamically. This is wrong Islamically. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ إِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَذِنُوا فَأَسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَسِنُوا الْفِتْنَةَ. He said, وَلِحِدَّ أَحْدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. So when you are slaughtering, you slaughter away. Even when you are killing an animal that you are asked to kill, you kill away. You know, we mentioned the other time that any animal that the Sharia says you should kill, it is not lawful for you to eat that animal. If you want to kill such an animal, you kill away. You kill away. So Islam goes against, you know, merciless killing. Merciless killing. Islam goes against that. So إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَحَسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةِ. That is the higher, the way you are going to kill should be a good way. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَحَسِنُوا الْذِبْحَةِ. When you are slaughtering, slaughter in a good way. So the one who is using a knife that is not sharp to kill or to slaughter, such a person will make that animal go through pain. So it's not doing ihsanu al-dhikha. It's not doing ihsanu al-dhikha. And this is wrong. So that's why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلِحِدَّ شَفْرَةَ. Shafra, that is his knife, with which he wants to slaughter, he should sharpen it. وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِحَةَ. He should allow his animal to have roha. The animal that you want to kill, you don't put it in a situation where the animal will be feeling what? Serious pain, and the animal will be uncomfortable. So Islam goes against that. So the Sheikh says it should be with muhabbat. Something that is sharp. وَهَنْ يُنْهَرَ الدَّمُ. Likewise, the blood must be poured. What you are going to use to slaughter should be sharp, and you should also cut the animal in the right place that you make the blood gush out. Now we have four things. We have al-wabjan, that is the jugular vein, and we have al-mari, that is the gullet. Then we have al-hulqum, that is the truth. How this is there. So, which one should one cut? Some of the scholars have the opinion that the wabjan, that the two veins that carries blood to the blood, once you cut it, the blood will gush out. Or once you cut them, the blood will gush out. But it is the wabjan that should be cut. Some have the opinion that it is the marie that should be cut. That is where the food goes. Because once somebody is stopped from eating, that person is gone. They say that should be cut. Some are of the opinion that it is the ulkum, the throat, because once that is what is cut, the person cannot breathe and the likes. So some scholars are of the opinion that you cut the four. Some are of the opinion that if you cut three out of the four, it's okay. Some have the opinion that you cut the warshan, the two blood vessels. So Allah alam, what matters most is that you do in Haru Dami. You make the blood flow. And the way the blood can flow best is to cut the two blood vessels. That's the way the blood will flow. So you are killing a cow, a fowl, a cock. What you target most is what? Is the two blood vessels. So once you cut them, the blood will gush out. So this is called what? Inharu Adani. If it is a camel, so the slaughtering, they will use the word slaughter for both in the English language. Al-Zabhu and Al-Naharu. But in Arabic there is difference. Zabhu, this is when you are slaughtering like this. Naharu is when you pierce with either a knife or any sharp object, and that goes towards to that is inserted just beneath the throat, very close to the chest. That is where they do Naharu of al-Ibil. Now, Naharu al-Mazbur wa Zabh al-Manhur, this is also permissible. An animal that you're supposed to pierce with a spear or a knife, the way you do to the camel, if you do not do that and you slaughter the camel, can you eat it? You can eat it. Because what is called in Haru Dam has taken place. And if you pierce a goat and the blood gushes out, this is also what permissible. But the best is that other animals should be slaughtered, while the camel should be, they will say, pi'as. So they will use the word slaughter for it as well, but let's use the word pi'as. It should be pi'as. But if you do it vice versa, there is nothing wrong in that. You can see the animal. So we mentioned four things. The sheikh says, وَأَنْ يَقْطَى الْحُلْكُومِ وَالْمَرِي. He should cut الْحُلْكُومِ, the throat, وَالْمَرِي, and the gullet, the esophagus. So he mentioned these two, because to them, they prefer these two. But as I said, some scholars said it is the two blood vessels, two veins, that should be cut. Some said three out of four. The sheikh says, وَأَنْ يُذْكَرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْ يُذْكَرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Why slaughtering? The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be mentioned. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be mentioned. Why slaughtering? Look at the conditions that he has mentioned. He has listed. أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمُذَكِّي مُسْلِمًا أَوْ كِتَابِيًّا وَأَنْ يَكُونَ بِمُحَدَّدٍ وَأَنْ يُنْهَرَ الدَّمُ وَأَنْ يُقْطَعَ الْحُلْكُومُ وَالْمَرِيُّ وَأَنْ يُذْكَرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. So he mentioned five conditions. Now, there is this issue. These are the author has mentioned as one of the conditions. That is, mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it really a condition or not? Majority of the scholars, they see it as a condition. Majority of the scholars see this as a condition. Though some will not mention condition, they say it's wajib, compulsory. So meaning, if somebody deliberately leaves out the mentioning of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering a lawful animal, such an animal is not eaten. You ready? If somebody intentionally leaves the saying of Bismillah while slaughtering a lawful animal, such an animal becomes impermissible to eat. So this is what, like, a condition for somebody who does ta'ammud, tark zikrillah, the tark zikrillah, the one who deliberately leaves out mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, according to most scholars, you see, it is not permissible for one to eat such an animal. Now, to the Shafi'iyya, they are of the opinion that mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a condition. Rather, it is sunnah mustahabba. So to them, if somebody deliberately leaves out mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the animal is still permissible to eat. Are you with me? Uh-huh. Now, to the jumhur of the scholars, when I say the jumhur, I'm referring to the Malikiya, the Hanafiya, and the Hanabila, the Jewish. So their position is that you ask, but if one does not deliberately, that animal is not lawful. What about if one forgetfully leaves it? If one forgets to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Malikiya and the Hanabila and the Hanafiya, they are of the opinion that in a situation like this, the animal is still lawful. The meat is what? Is lawful. Because you do not leave it deliberately. Now about the Shafi'iyya. The case of the Shafi'iyya is simple. He has said, even if you leave it deliberately, as long as you are somebody whose slaughtering is permissible, then you can go ahead to eat it. Now one may say, why did they say this? I mean the Shafi'iyya. Part of the argument is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to eat the meat of the Christians and the Jew. Part of the condition mentioned earlier is that the one who is slaughtering must be somebody who is a kitabi. So if a Christian slaughters, so he may not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering. If a Jew slaughters, he may not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering. And Allah said, وَطُعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. So it shows that if you see any text that says you should mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering, that text will be the istihbab. How this is clear. So the majority of the scholars said, no, the position is wrong. It is compulsory on one to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it. Though if one forgets, that's a different thing. But if one does not forget, it is compulsory that one mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering. What are our evidences? They say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Don't eat what the name of Allah is not mentioned on it. When no la fisk, it is fisk. It is fisk. That is, in an act of what? Disobedience. If it is what, then evidence. Likewise, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَمْهَرَ الدَّمَا وَفُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَقُولُوا. When you slaughter with an object, and that object makes the blood to flow, وَفُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَقُولُوا. And the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned on it. فَقُولُوا. Then eat it. So this is what the majority of the scholars, they use as evidence. As for the one who forgets to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say in a situation like that, one can still eat it. One can still eat it. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. So one can still eat it. How this is clear? Now, there's another position. And that is the position of Ibn Taymiyyah and another position of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Another position of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Then, among the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala also owe this position. That even when you forget, you can't eat it. Because Allah said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Don't eat what the name of Allah is not mentioned on when slaughtering. So it is fisk. So the fans did not say unless if the person forgets. So why are you adding if the person forgets one can eat it? What about the verse رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا? He said, yes, Allah is not going to punish you because you did not do that deliberately. If you have slaughtered an animal without mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately, you would have been what? Sinful. At the same time, the animal is not lawful for you to eat. You get it now? But in this case now, you are not sinful because you forget. But you can still eat what? You cannot still eat the animal. So when this new waste of food, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is no waste of food. Because this animal that you have slaughtered without mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become what? Jifa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from eating something that is what? Jifa. That is meta. So it is no waste of food. This is something that you must not eat. However, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala has a position that inshallah we are going to mention when talking about hunting. Now we are talking about Zabha. So in the case of Zabha, we said Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala is of the opinion that if you forget you can eat it. Now there's another opinion. There's another opinion again that goes with the opinion of the Shafi'iyah. You know, issues of deen at times can be very tasking. You see, a scholar or a student of knowledge will be looking at the available evidences. At times, he will feel like what? Taking this position after he has done the research. Then, some things will come up again. What about this area? He changes his position again. Not based on how, but based on what? The evidences that are appearing. And that's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, at times, three positions may be ascribed to him. By three different suruts, four different suruts. So it's natural. As Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave a fatwa one time, and at another time he gave a fatwa contrary to what he had given. So some people sit there and said, but he said so and so during so and so time, and you are saying this now. He said that is what we said then, and this is what we see now. That is, the matter has appeared to me from another angle. What if somebody is doing a hawa or playing with a jinn? What appears to you today may be different from what appears to you tomorrow. So we have the position of those who say it is not compulsory to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is recommended. Like Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is what An-Nawawi in his explanation of Sahih Muslim also established, the position of the Shafi'i. Because he himself was a Shafi'i. Now if you go by the argument of the Shafi'iyya, that Allah allows us to eat the meat of the Ahlul Kitab, and these people are likely not to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they may go worse by mentioning the name of what? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam or something else. So one may say what? They have what? They have strong arguments. Now how are they going to relate with the verse? وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْكٌ. They said, no. It is when other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned on it. That is what Allah is talking about. وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْكٌ. The name of other than Allah is mentioned, not the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is mentioned on it. That is the meaning of the verse. So this is the interpretation of Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala to that verse. You read it now. And this is one of the major evidence, the major evidences that those who say it is compulsory to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why? Slaughtering. This is one of their major evidences. So as for man haradama wa dhukira smullahi alayhi fakulu, so this can also be said it is sahibab. That is, wa dhukira smullahi alayhi can be said to be what? It is really sahibab. I hope this is clear. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in his sahih, commenting on that same verse, commenting on the verse, he said, "Babu tasmiyati ala dhabiha," the chapter of at-tasmiya, mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala dhabiha, on the slaughter of ma, wa man taraka muta'ammidan, and whoever deliberately leaves the saying of Bismillah. قال ابن عباس. ابن عباس said, من نسي whoever forgets فلا بأس, there is no harm. You say this is the opinion of Al-Imam Ahmad according to the popular report from him. Likewise the position of Abu Hanifa, the position of Imam Malik. It is the Malikiya, the Hanabila and the Hanafiya. If somebody forgets, so they say Fala Abbas. This is a statement of Abdullah bin Abbas. Abdullah bin Abbas as Sahabi al-Jalil. So this that he has said will make the matter look what? Simpler. Huh? Because this is Sahabi. And we do not have anybody from among the companions who have said something contrary to his. And Imam Bukhari continues, he says, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرُ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْكُ. He brought it back. Then he said, وَالنَّاسِ لَا يُسَمَّ فَاسِقًا. وَالنَّاسِ لَا يُسَمَّ فَاسِقًا. The one who forgets, you can't call such a person a fasiq. Because when you call somebody a fasiq, that means that person is disobedient. The one who has forgetfully left the mentioning of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't call him a disobedient person. Because we have what? رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنَّ فِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. So Imam al-Bukhari said, وَالنَّاسِ لَا يُسَمَّ فَاسِقًا. فَالنَّاسِ لَا يُسَمَّ فَاسِقًا. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, commenting on this statement of al-Bukhari, he says he disagrees with the interpretation of al-Bukhari. وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. So, وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, is he referring to the person or referring to the act? So the Shaykh says, he's not referring to the person. وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Don't eat from what the name of Allah is not mentioned on it. وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. The Shaykh says, وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, that is that act of not mentioning the name of Allah is what? Is fisq. Not a mercy. It's not talking about the one who has forgotten that the person is not fasiq. So the Shaykh says the interpretation of Bukhari here will not be correct. Al-Bukhari took it to mean the person. Why? The domain is going back to the action. You get it now. So, what Al-Imam al-Shafi and some others say, وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, that is referring to when that thing is slaughtered and other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. So the wa'u there will not be wa'u of what? Of hal. It will be what? Wa'u of hal. That is, it's talking about the condition of that thing. Do not eat what the name of or what the name of other Allah, what the name of other Allah is mentioned on. Or don't eat what the name of Allah is not mentioned on when the name of other than Allah is mentioned. You know, we have the verse, أَوْ فِسْقٌ أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. أَوْ فِسْقٌ أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. So if something other than Allah is mentioned on an animal when killing it, it becomes what? Fisq. How to explain? So this is where Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala look at it. So you see that all the scholars, they've been able to buttress their positions with evidences. The one used by this, the other explained it. The one used by this, the other explained it. But Allah alam, to be on the safe side. Since we have Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said, فَمَنْ نَسِيَ فَلَا بَاسْ. Whoever forgets, then there is no harm. And he said this is the majority's view. In fact, At-Tabari quoted something of Ijma on this. Now, when At-Tabari quotes Ijma, scholars said, his own Ijma, when you have two persons, three persons disagree with what most scholars are upon, Tabari feels comfortable to quote Ijma on that. That there is Ijma on it. So if you have somebody that does mukhalafa, a person or two persons, he would disregard that. That is the definition of Al-Ijma according to Al-Imam al-Tabari. So he said that it's Ijma that you can eat it if somebody forgets to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it. Now those who say you can eat it, are they going to react to that of وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم. شيخ المسلمين رحمه الله تعالى responding on this said وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم إذا ذكروا اسم الله عليه. That if they mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on each day is halal for you. But if they deliberately leave out the mention of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they forget, it's not permissible for you. Just as it's not permissible for you if a Muslim slaughters without mentioning the name of Allah deliberately or forgetfully. So what is not permissible for you to eat when a Muslim does it should not be permissible for you when a Christian or a Jew does it. You get the argument? So he said you have to add to that وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ وَتُوا كِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. That is when they mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they do not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not halal for you. Just as if a Muslim does not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not halal for you. Now, but Allah did not tell us that if they did not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it. They argue that did Allah mention the name of Muslim? What Allah said is, وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. So, whether it is a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, the name of Allah must be mentioned. Then, when some people came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Aisha was there, and they said, إِنَّ قَوْمًا حَدِيثِ أَهْدِ بِكُفْرٍ يَأْتُونَنَا بِلَحْمِ أَوْ بِلُحْمَانِ لَا نَدْرِ أَذَكَرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ أَمْ لَا. Some people who are just embrace Islam. Some people who are just embrace Islam will bring us meat. We don't know why slaughtering the meat, whether they mention the name of Allah on it. Why slaughtering the animal, whether they mention the name of Allah on it or not, we don't know. What was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, سَمُّ اللَّهَ أَنْتُمْ وَكُلُوا. You don't mention the name of Allah on it. He said, here they say this is another evidence that mentioning the name of Allah while slaughtering is not compulsory, it's only mustahab. So it's like Messenger of Allah telling them that don't bother yourself with that. You say Bismillah if you want to eat. So that is the normal adhkar that you do before eating. Ya gulam, samillah, huh? Wa kul mimma yalik. You get it? Those who say no, you have to mention the name of Allah, they say that is not an evidence. Because those people, they knew it is compulsory to mention the name of Allah while slaughtering. That was why they went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning those who have just embraced Islam. They were not sure whether they mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. The Messenger of Allah told them that you don't need to bother yourself about that. They are Muslims. The teaching is already there for Muslims. So you are the one to watch, bring evidence that they did not mention the name of Allah while slaughtering, since you didn't see them. So you assume that they have mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering. So the same thing if a Christian, this is where I'm going, if a Christian brings you a meat, you assume he has mentioned the name of Allah while slaughtering. Unless if you see otherwise, that when the Christian is slaughtering, he is mentioning the name of Allah. That is when you say what? وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْكُ. But you don't see. But for you to say but, it's likely that you don't need that but. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ. What about the Bismillah? Assume that you've said Bismillah. But as you assume, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that those people that they shouldn't bother about that, you say Bismillah. Your own duty is before you eat, say Bismillah. You got the argument. But wallahu alam, to be on the safe side, the position of the Jumhur that At-Tabari quoted Ijma on is still the safest. Is still the safest. Particularly when we had the Athar of Abdullah bin Abbas, that فَمَنْ نَسْيَ فَلَا بَاسْ فَمَنْ نَسْيَ فَلَا بَاسْ. So we said it's compulsory to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering. But if somebody forgets to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not see it as what? Mayta. That you can know it. As said by Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Uthaymeen and some others. He said, At-Tabari said, the two positions are the position of the Shafi'iyah and what? This other one, the Jumhur. That saying you cannot eat it if somebody forgets. So this is against Ijma'. I mentioned that the Shaykh, not that he did not know that some people said it, but when one person or two persons disagrees to him, he does not fear to quote Ijma' on such a thing. So wallahu alam. Inshallah we stop here. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruk.
Now jazakumullah khairan. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all our scholars and all students of knowledge with khair. Indeed they are really doing a great job for Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them abundantly. Allahumma ameen. So if you have questions, let us take numbers first. Then we'll take this one here. One. Others are still coming. Okay. Somebody said, is it compulsory to drink water while sitting? Like, is it compulsory?
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ba'd. If there is no necessity that warrants one drinking standing or a niche, it is compulsory to drink seated. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam frowned at that, and in one of the hadith, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who is drinking standing, if he knows the evil of that, lastaqaha, to vomit the water. So he said that I asked somebody, ayasurruka an yashruba ma'aka al-hir, will you be happy if as you are drinking a cat is also drinking with you? The person said no. Said, because shariba ma'aka man wa sharun min dhalik, shaitan. A shaitan has drunk with you. So this and some other hadith made some scholars to say it is not permissible to drink standing. And this is the position of Sheikh Al-Albani, Ibn Taymiyyah, and a lot of scholars. However, they say there is a necessity, then one can drink standing, or there is haja, a need. Like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank standing at the place of Zamzam. So this drinking standing of ease is what majority of the scholars who say it is not haram to drink standing that they use. So they said the nahyu there will be what? The karaha and noli tahrim. You get it? So that for the fact that we saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink standing shows that it is not haram. Why it will be haram? It would not have what? Punish. So An-Nawawi in Riyadh al-Salihin so explain this. So he brought a hadith on Jawaz. After he has brought a hadith on Nahyu, then the hadith on what? Jawaz. He brought this asar of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So majority of the scholars, they say drinking standing is makruh, not haram. Why minorities? It is haram. But if there is a need for you to drink standing, you can drink standing. He said, for instance, Messenger of Allah drank standing at the place of Zamzam because of the crowd. So it will be difficult for him to sit there, because it will be easy to even cause a stampede in an area like that. So it's like somebody who is walking on the street, for instance, and he has the reason to drink water. Now you know he cannot squat on the road. So in a situation like this, and he can't find any place to go and sit and drink. So if he drinks, standing this way, justified. The way that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was justified at the place of at the Mas'ah. So Allahu a'lam.
Okay. Concerning meat, the meat we buy in the market, Yaba market, when you go market and the likes, what do we say about it? Can we eat it?
Now, I think at the beginning of the lecture, I've explained this. Majority of those who slaughter here in Lagos are either Muslim, majority Muslims. So if you have a 2% Christian and an abattoir, that will be what? So if it is Christian, you say what? You can still eat it. And if you want to go by the principles of all of them, for instance, even those who say if you don't mention the name of Allah on it, you can't eat it, they also agree that you assume that the Christians are mentioning the name of Allah until you see evidence that they do not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, now someone says, can we celebrate okay, is there anything wrong in celebrating Children's Day and Teacher's Day?
Now, all these things are considered to be Eid by most scholars. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he arrived in Medina, as Anas radiallahu anhu said, قَدُمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَدِينَةَ وَلَهُ الْيَوْمَانِ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِنَا. When the Messenger of Allah arrived in Medina, the people of Medina had 2 days that he was celebrating. Scholars say the 2 days are the days of Nowruz that the Iranians, they still celebrate Tina and some other areas like that in Afghanistan and the like. They call it Nowruz. Nowruz. Then the other one is Maharajan. So the people of Medina were celebrating these 2 days too, following the Persians, So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَذَنِ الْيَوْمَانِ. He said, كُنَّا نَلْعَبْ فِي مَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Before we embrace Islam, we used to celebrate them. Messenger of Allah said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمَا. Allah has given you a substitute for both of them. What is better for? Better than both of them. يوم الأضحى ويوم الفطر. Ibn Taymiyyah in Iqdaa Sirat al-Mustaqim Mukhalafat al-Ashab al-Jahim said it's an evidence that age or festival is ibadah. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said, okay, add these two to it. Rather than saying, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمَا. He could have said what? Have these two. So for him to have said that, it shows that it is ibadah. So there is no basis for introducing this. So Children's Day, Mother's Day, Workers' Day, all these are what? A'id. They are a'yad. That should not be celebrated according to most scholars. Some people try to say no, this should not be considered as something of ibadah. It should be seen as ada only. So there are some scholars who say this. What most scholars are upon is that no, they are ibadah. Wallahu
alam. Concerning that, when the government declared holiday for Muslim schools who do not believe in those days, what should they do?
Now, if the government is going to penalize people who do not go on holiday, then in that case, it is imposition. and you take it not because you believe in it. It's just like when we criticize the strike and the workers strike. Only you cannot go to work. So you start to mistake the fact that you not believe in what? In that principle. But you don't go to work too. So Allah a'lam. Now the question is that concerning the eating of the slaughtered meat of Ahlul Kitab, the Christians and the Jews, can we say this is still applicable to the Christians of today, the Christians in our society? Because the Christians in our society or the Christians of today, they are mushrikun. They are mushrikun. The Christians of the past, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were they muslimun? لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله ثالث ثلاثة لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله هو المسيح ابن مريم. These are verses of the Quran. Despite that, Allah said, وَتُعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ. So that argument was not old water. That the Christians of the past are the ones being talked about, not the Christians of today. What is the difference between the Christian of the past and the Christian of today? The Christian of the past, they say Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is God. The Christian of the past said Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is one of the Trinity. And Allah said, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. So what is the difference? What you can only say is that maybe zina is more rampant in the Christians of today than the Christian of the past. That is when you want to talk about marrying Christian or marrying Jews. But the same thing is of the Muslims. The zaniyat, among the Muslimat are more today than the past. So Allah said, "What والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب." So those who are allowed to marry among the Christians are those who are chaste. The same thing goes for the Muslims. It is chaste Muslims that you marry. So all those arguments that some people try to bring do not hold water. Allahu a'lam. Now, somebody who slaughters a ram and does not slaughter it properly, the ram does not die immediately. So can we still eat the ram? Yes, you can eat it. As long as you have slaughtered the ram in such a way that it cannot exist. It cannot exist. So the way it is. And you have done what makes the blood gush out. Huh? So you have done what makes the blood gush out. And if you leave the animal like that, it cannot exist. So you have done what you are supposed to do. Though if there is a better way, you should have done that. But that does not make the animal jiffer. People ask questions at times that when you start an animal, and the animal you can see is still something like still shaking somehow, and before allowing it to die completely, they started tearing it, killing the, can you eat? You can still eat it. Because the animal cannot survive in that situation. So that scholars talk about hayat mustaqirra and hayat ghayr mustaqirra. That is life that is how do I put it? That is the life of the animal is something that you can still live for long. But if it's a condition that you cannot live in, so meaning to just die. and you have done what you are supposed to do. You don't take that life as something that you used to watch to knock eating the animal. So scholars, they talked about this extensively, and Nawawi in Al-Majmur, and some other scholars. So these are areas that you ought to know. Some people, they say animals that they pihas, for instance, instead of slaughtering a goat, and they shook it with something in his neck, and blood gushes out. Can you eat it? Yes, you can eat it. So some people, they say, no, you can't eat it. And I'm not saying scholars, but some people here in India, I tell you, you can't eat it. Why? They say they shook something in the neck of the animal, the goat, so, and the blood comes out. So that is not a reason why you say they can't eat it. But if they do not allow the blood to come out, then they can't eat the animal, because in Haru, Dhani does not take place. But they shook it in the neck and blood comes out, so that doesn't stop it from what? From being eaten. The fact that they didn't slaughter it, we will slaughter, does not mean what? You cannot eat the goat. So Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.